From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We're relentless and kept pushing, but kind of like wasted that effort. Even though I know it's not wasted because our lessons are learned, and I know we're not going to make the mistakes of the past again, but in a moment like this, we need to make these things matter.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start out there. Got a lot still to get to in the next 2 hours of radio. Circling back on a couple of topics, we're still having texts come in on cats from the start of the show. People who are pro-cat or anti-cat.
Yeah, that can be quite an argument, the pro and anti-cat thing.
Yeah, we got P15 chiming in saying, after hearing your cat comments, I just got a cat. I was a little worried, but now that I'm thinking about it, my cat's been pretty cool so far. So fingers crossed, he got one of the non-psycho ones.
I think 33% of cats are demons.
Yeah, Swag like, said 67%. Yeah. You said 33%.
Swag's too high. Now, his standard of what is a cool cat to him might be so high that to him 67% of cats are demons.
Yes.
My standard is I know cats don't largely care. In fact, if you died, fun fact, the cat would eat your head off your body within 24 hours of you being dead.
Yeah, dude.
But
psychotic.
When you have a cool cat,
it's worth it.
It really is worth it and stands out. That's why I think the demon cat is only 33% of all cats.
Got another one from a Beaver fan who we talked about the idea of canceling the Texas Tech game. We could throw that up as a poll question as well at some point.
I didn't know how to word it.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. And also, you're going to get non-Beaver fans who vote in the poll question. So it's never 100% accurate. But basically, said the best way to get PR about Texas Tech is to beat them. Don't cancel the game because Oregon wouldn't cancel the game. So why would we? If we want to act like a Power Four school, then do what the Power Four schools do. If they cancel them, then cancel them. Tell them, play the game, get your check, and beat them. Oh, and sell shirts that say Sorsby should have bet the under on quarterback yard and moneyline the Beavs.
I love most of all of that.
That's actually
text.
A really funny idea if you win the game to make a t-shirt with him as like a like with the DraftKings app open on his phone, betting Beavers moneyline.
Yeah, you just show a guy making a bet with the DraftKings bet, and it's Moneyline
Oregon
State. Clicking
Moneyline Oregon State.
That's a good one. I like most of that text. You're not a Power Four program.
No.
That's the unfortunate. Even if you act like one, you're not one. You're a group of six, and that's okay. And to the beginning of the text, you might be right, but George is claiming they refuse to play Texas Tech.
We would never do it.
We will never play
them. Over our damn body will we play you, Texas Tech, unless it's a college football playoff game, and this we will. Then,
well, we have to. We're obligated to. We signed contracts.
By golly, we're going to have to play in the game after all. I want to give a quick reminder to everybody before we get to making your voice heard. Do you want to be a part of the democratic process in our beautiful city of Portland, Oregon? I will explain. But just a reminder that the 12th Annual Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is sold out. Foursomes to this year's tournament. Langdon Farms went in record time. If you miss it, make sure to jump on it next year. It always goes fast. Special thank you to all the sponsors for the tournament. Victor Rico's back bringing the burritos pre-round. Matt's Barbecue feeding the golfers post-round. We'll be at the infamous 6th Angels Envy Bourbon 6th hole where we'll be hanging out all day critiquing your shots and giving you a golf clap if you had a good one. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro de Bell Tequila, Lorehurst Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 100 Divorce, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer, Cheap Fun, and Window Nation. Can't wait to see everybody out there. June 23rd, 13 days from now. 2 weeks from yesterday. It's crazy. We're almost there, man.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to sidebar because I know what topic you're getting to here. Yeah. I don't have any faith this Joe and Danny golf match is going to happen.
I have an update on that.
Okay.
I will get to that in the next segment.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for doing my tease for me.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes. It doesn't feel optimistic.
It's right around the corner. Okay. I will give a firm update on the Cargo Short Classic in a matter of moments. I saw this come across the wire last night, and I thought, oh, okay, let's read through this and see what happens. I don't know if there's a way to see what the results are so far. That's the only part of it that I don't fully understand. But we have a pretty big financial decision that needs to be made in our little local community. What are we going to do with the Moda Center? The state has passed over $300 million in funding. We know that the council, city council and Multnomah County have not approved their portions of the budget and what it's going to take in order to get the Blazers to sign the lease extension and all of that. And we've had these debates, and I wasn't here for the Orem conversation, but it's been a conversation now and a topic of interest for a lot of folks of what does this look like? When's it going to get approved? Where's the process at? Where's the money coming from? And will it actually turn into a disaster? Or is this something that we'll laugh about 10, 15 years down the road?
I really love that another show took drops from the Orem interview.
Oh, who snagged our Orem drops?
Primetime. They did a really good job of doing that.
Oh, they snagged our drops?
Who do you think I am?
Yeah. That's a good one.
I hear it and I'm like,
did they get the okay? I haven't heard the okay yet.
I don't know if they pulled the okay. I've only heard the, who do you think I am? To which I just sat here like, what?
Huh? All right.
Bill Orem? I should have responded in real time. Bill Orem?
Bill Orem, columnist of the Oregonian.
Am I wrong?
Friend of the program, Bill Orem.
Wrong guy here?
We love you, Bill. We love you, man. Well, this was interesting. So last night, the city council put out, I'm assuming that's the institute that put it out.
It's portland.gov.
If you go to portland.gov/council/modafacts, and you want an easier way to find it, I have tweeted this out. At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter, you can go find it. I just sent it out on our Twitter account, so you can go click it. And it's interesting because it goes through every specific detail and time frame of exactly what is on their plate, what they're debating, what the options at hand are, and you can go take the survey. There's a survey in this. As a citizen of this great state, city, region, you can go take the survey and say what's important to you. Do you want them to vote on the funding? Do you want the funding to be focused here, there, elsewhere? Some of the details in this, like for those who are not sure on like how is this all going to look in terms of the money, $365 million will come from the state of Oregon. They have already agreed to put the money up on the condition the Blazers sign a 20-year lease. Mm-hmm. Multnomah County on the hook for $88 million, and the city of Portland is on the hook for $120 million, and that's the number proposed by Mayor Wilson, and that's what the city council is weighing right now. And it was interesting because you can go through kind of the it does basically a Q&A of why do we need to renovate the Moda Center? Why is the city considering doing it now? Have they signed an NDA? And it's a really good way of getting kind of the behind the scenes look at where all of this is going to come from and how it will all come together. It was asked, how much will the Moda Center renovations cost and who will pay for it? So for those who are unsure on all of this, here is the according to the city council, this is how it will look. Major renovation is estimated to cost $600 million up front. Ongoing maintenance would cost an additional $285 to $300 million over the next 20 years. The state committed to $365, as I pointed out, as a part of the major renovations. Multnomah County proposing their amount in the city as well. Even without a renovation, and this is what I brought up last week, the Moda needs maintenance. The city's 2024 facility assessment, which has not been put up for inflation or updated for inflation, estimated the Moda would need at least $482 million over the next 20 years just to maintain the building as is. At this time, the state county haven't made any commitments for this option, and building a new arena would be much more expensive, with obviously costing over $1 billion and millions more in maintenance. And then where is the money going to come from in the city? It goes through the city's anticipating $45 million in tax revenue from the sale of the Trailblazers from the estate of Paul Allen to the new owners. The revenue is not currently allocated to any future expenses, could go towards the $120 million the city would invest in the Moda Center. Mm-hmm. The city's spectator venues and visitor activity fund is generated by ticket fees, parking, hotel taxes, rental cars, all that stuff that come from people traveling. Basically, the purpose of the fund is to be used by by oversight of the city, own spectator facilities, and support travel, tourism, and visitor development efforts. Public funds such as the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund for the portion of the renovation that decreased carbon reductions, and Prosper Portland Strategic Investment Fund for portions that may generate revenue for economic development. And it basically says we can also dive into some bonding against the city funds that come as a debt and an interest payment for the city. But I thought it was unique to get the glimpse of, like, there's multiple different pools of money that they can pull from in order to get to their 120.
Yep.
And I know that this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Okay.
I read through the entire thing. I took the survey.
Did you
I answered
the bar? You
I did the bar
to 10.
Yep. The confident, not confident.
Did
what
you
do
write
I want?
Your
I ranked. I wrote my thoughts down.
Yeah,
I
so
said the Blazers are the lifeblood of the sports community in this market. And if we lose them, it will leave a crippling blow that we will never recover from.
Yep.
I don't understand how it's possible for somebody to read this and say this isn't a good idea.
Well, the other side of that coin. If I could play the other side, since you just threw
give
it
me
out
the,
there.
Give me the devil's advocate of that.
Our city's financially bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses are leaving. They're vacant all over. We seem to be short financially in a lot of areas that matter. Healthcare is crumbling. School systems are short every year. Teachers are being laid off. There's not a lot of dollars and cents to make a major city operate, is what it feels like. So the other side is, do we need to be taking dollars from all these other funds or borrowing for a building that has sports or a concert or monster trucks?
And I know
that's the other
that
side
will be
that.
The other side. And I totally, like, there's going to be people on the council who will not back off of that take of why are we giving a handout to a billionaire? The immediate retort that I have to those people, and I brought this up last week, and I think it's kind of lost in the shuffle of all this, is that we own the arena.
I know,
it's our arena.
But they view,
and our own city's estimate said we need $500 million in order to do it.
That was also 2 years ago, by the way. So everybody's
prior
like,
to inflation.
Why are we giving them six? Right. I'm like, well, that was 2 years ago.
And the
ago.
City council's own write-up of this says we have not updated that number for inflation. And if we did, it probably is closer to $600 million, although not fully there. But that part also is part of it making a better concert venue and all that. It just, all of the things that are plaguing the city are spot on. And they will not be fixed by not spending the money on the Blazers. In fact, I would argue it will lead to the exact opposite impact of the business climate isn't good. People are checking out. We're losing stores and retail, like all that. You lose the Blazers, it's only going to accelerate in terms of a idea of business and dollars leaving our market and our economy.
Oh, we lost the Blazers. Like, I would have to think about things.
It would be a devastating blow that we would never overcome. This isn't Seattle where we have the Mariners and the Seahawks.
No,
and the hope of an NHL team and the Huskies.
Right.
Are in town. It just, with what's happened to Oregon State in the last handful of years and the idea of losing the Blazers, the sports community in this market would never recover.
I tend to agree with that.
Because we're not a major market that's never good. We're never going to attract another league to come back here. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, I think the other side too is just like, and again, I think part of this conversation is believing or not believing, or being willing to be open-minded to it. Tom Dundon, one of his interviews he did, he basically, people in Carolina talked about when they got the stadium renovated, how he basically, because they were good, he started investing. He invested his own money, right? He helped build a district up. And I think that's kind of what I would be after, is right now people see it and go, oh, you're handing the billionaire this. And I can say to a certain degree, sure.
Right.
But to your point, we own the building, so we're just never going to renovate it. We're just going to leave it. Like, I saw, you want to go and talk about a different world than you're living in? Go to the comment section of an OPB published story on this and read the comments. It's literally people, what's even wrong with the arena? I go to concerts everywhere. It's a great venue. Why are we doing this? Nobody literally in my life wants this. And I'm like, that's a little far-fetched. So it's an entirely different world we live in with some of the people in our own city. And I can understand that, but like, if you invest in the city and you renovate, and he does make the moves and actually make the team good, right now all we can go off is what we see, right? Only evidence I have is Carolina. And I know they're different sports. I know.
Different political climates and all that. Yep.
But they're winning, and winning has created him wanting to invest in it. He has already said on the record, yeah, he's interested. He's interested in the non-sports stuff, the business side of it, the making things better. So if the Blazers are better, the arena's renovated and paid for by the state, the city, and the county, does he down the road then invest in the helping the Albina district rebuild that's happening? Does he add to that? Does he pour in money for other things? He did it in Carolina, so why would he... Why? I guess I would just be asking, why would I think he'd not do that here?
Exactly.
So I hear what you're saying. I understand the whole financial aspect of this, but I also voted on some of this stuff. And I don't live technically in the Portland lines here, but as somebody who works here, I'm here 5-6 times a week. I visit downtown all the time. I got family with businesses here in downtown Portland. As somebody that's a big part of the community, and I grew up in Portland, I gave my thoughts, and it's some of it sucks, but the reality is I can't imagine how bad the city, whatever the city's problems are now, because I don't think the city is, you know, a dystopian death hole. I think there are a lot of good things about the city still.
Right.
But it, whatever the reputation is now, what is it if you lose the team?
Right.
And how is that going to recover? Like what? Our art tax money is going to be properly spent now instead of them coming back and saying, we finally don't have $3 million left over like we thought we wouldn't. We spent the money. Our arts are better. Like, what am I going to get out of it?
I think it's a great question. And so I'm going through this because somebody said if you go through the survey and at the end of it, when you submit it, it will give you the results. One of the reasons I wanted to bring this up on the show is that I think there's a bubble of people in this city who follow.
I just clicked view the results. I didn't see that until because I did it before the show.
Okay, so your tab open.
I saw it last
so can
night,
you
yeah.
get the
yeah.
read what they are? Because I think there's one of the reasons I want to bring it up and put it out to our audience is that I think there's a bubble of people in this city who obviously follow politics very closely. I don't know how many of those people sports radio listeners,
so
right? You mentioned
go.
An OPB call. I want to make sure sports fans are making their, and taxpayers who are sports fans, are making their voice heard on this topic.
How important is it for the Moda Center to be renovated? 1 to 5 is where you can draw the dot.
5 being
the dot.
Extremely important.
Yeah, 5 being the most important, and then 4, 3, 2, 1 down. Number one has 1,653 votes,
mm-hmm.
and number 5 has 1,697 votes.
So
everything else
split.
Is down and in the middle.
So it shows you the exact
it's
split.
It's literally split of people that want
to
do
have
it.
Have to do it or don't do it at all.
The next one, do you support the city of Portland contributing up to $120 million? Strongly support all the way down to strongly oppose. Strongly oppose is winning at 1,971 votes.
Yeah.
Strongly support is 1,683. Second place on that is somewhat oppose at 497. Third is somewhat support. And then the last one is neither support nor oppose. Yeah, pick a side, you losers. What are you doing there?
Yeah, don't fence in on this topic.
The other ones are kind of...
I do not have an opinion on this.
A couple of them are more difficult to read because they're such smaller fonts.
Some of them get a little convoluted of like, do you want this specific fund or is money okay coming from here? The other part of it that just made me chuckle of reading about the money is that just in the sale of the Blazers, they're getting a tax windfall of $45 million.
Yes.
That has not been allocated to anything yet.
Exactly.
At all.
To anything.
So
it's not like it's like, well, we were going to give it to kindergartners who can't eat lunch. It was
now there's $75 million.
So there's $45 off of your $120
so
as a city. $75 just like
million
that.
Left. You got to
like
come
that.
Up with.
If the Moda Center's modernized with a city contribution, which upgrades are the most important? The number one vote here, structural technology and operating upgrades. Number two is the improved outdoor plaza gathering space. Number three is sustainability improvements. Number four is accessibility improvements. Number five is improved concert infrastructure. Number six is seating improvements. Number seven, local arts and cultural events.
Right.
8, food and beverage. 9, high-end details such as suites, bars,
yeah, who cares about
and
the
club
don't need
spaces.
That. I don't need that crap. I don't need a club. I've been to a club in the Moda Center before, and I missed a legendary performance from Damian Lillard.
Arena renovations often include commitments from the primary tenant to support local people and neighborhoods. What are your priorities? Public transportation improvements is number one on that. Investment in neighborhood development. That's the one I voted for.
Okay.
And then living wage jobs for local people and supporting the right to unionize is number three on that list.
Hmm.
Going through this.
It is funny how we need to.
The drag over
the
bar
audience.
Ones, I'm not going to read. I
no, don't go through
that
those.
One out.
That was kind of a bitch to vote on anyways. You got to drag a thing up and it would get all, then you couldn't like reorganize it when you're all done. That part of it bothered me. The rest of it was very smooth and easy to vote on.
It is interesting. It shows you, it doesn't show you all of them, but it shows you, actually it does. It shows you written responses. Like what's the most important thing for city councilors to keep in mind as they make a decision about the Moda Center?
Yeah.
Some people say do what it takes to guarantee the Blazers and Fire stay here for the life of the Bonds and make the Moda Center accessible to more concerts of the area. The Blazers are the most important cultural institution in our state. If they leave, Portland dies. End of story. My other develop an entertainment district in the Rose Quarter.
Right.
Renovation is about preserving community and culture for generations. I have no problem spending tax dollars on parks, libraries, and other cultural investments. I want that taken into account. And then so on and so forth. So I think the rest are all opinion. Like, what information would you tell city councilors? But right now, to our earlier point,
go vote, people.
Just the spending is like, it is polar opposite. It's either you're all in on it
or you're out.
You do not want a single cent spent on it.
Yeah, I just, I hope people make their voice heard. The process and the way it lays it out. So let me pull this up one more time so I give the specific dates, and then we'll go to an update on the Cargo Short Classic. By the way, you can go find this. We tweeted it out at Thurton Sprague on Twitter. I'll have Swag. Can you retweet it with the fan account if you got it up and running? I just sent it with our show
account. One real quick note on this, because somebody texted me. Because everybody that's writing about this issue, you've gotten some urgency. They need to vote now. They need to pass it now or they're going to lose it. They literally sent out their schedules to have town hall meetings on all the districts in Portland.
So late June, the council work session and discussion of community feedback from the survey. So that's why I think it's important to do this. And in-person engagement events. And you can go find the specific dates of when each one will be taking place. But those start at the end of this month. Late July will be the first hearing and public testimony about the term sheet, a non-binding preliminary document outlining key economic and control terms of the proposed operator lease. In August, the council votes on the resolution approving said term sheet. And then by September or November, you start the lease negotiations if it is to be approved. By late November, early December, the council votes on the ordinance or resolution approving a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, a bonding document detailing final negotiated terms of the operated lease. And in the first quarter of 2027, the council votes on an ordinance to approve the definitive documents, a formal operator lease agreement written in compliance in the terms of the MOU.
Yeah, so people yelling at them to hurry it up. It's like they're literally laying out their schedule to do this.
Yes. And it's interesting. They put the idea of like the Fire are now playing here. That's a big deal. They're selling out every game.
They're opening up their practice facility with the Thorns in August.
We still need, they're going to have to upgrade the arena whether the Blazers stay or go. If you want concerts and the Fire. The Fire aren't going anywhere either way. So
I think the hard thing, Dirt, is because we've done segments in the past about owners and building them stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a lot of pieces done by guys who are super smart with really well-sourced teams that investigate, and they say, does it actually help? Does it make it better? And they conclude that largely it doesn't. And we've talked about that before. This one feels slightly different. Now, you can say it isn't, that it's still public money funding a billionaire's fun project, whatever. But this one's a little different in the sense of the arena's already built. It was built privately. Yeah.
He's not asking for a new arena.
It's been set to been renovated anyway.
We've never had to pay anything as a city for the Moda Center because the Allens paid
it to us.
And it's never been fully renovated. There's been little projects here or there, but they've never dumped a massive amount of money into it. And so that's, at some point you're going to have to pay for something if you want to keep it. I'm with you. And I think there's a good opening salvo from Dunnan in the case of he could very easily come in and be the people a lot perceive him to be and say, build me a new arena or I'm leaving the team. Like, I want an entirely new arena in a district.
He talked about that. He basically said,
I knew that was a
non-starter. Let's
renovate the arena. Yeah. We'll go from there. We'll sign the lease and we'll be done. So go find this. I tweeted it out at Thurton Sprague on Twitter. There's a lot of people who are in the political community who don't follow sports or care about it. And I know that's not the case with our audience. And you don't have to agree with everything we're saying, but go make your voice heard. The survey results, I'm hoping, will matter in some way, shape, or form. And we'll update on the latest of this story. Let's get to an update on the Cargo Short Classic next on The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, go make your voices heard, people. Vote on the survey. Let's keep the Blazers in Portland.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Don't be a chotch. Go vote. At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. You can find the league, portland.gov as well.
I got to find this Orem drop that they've played a bajillion times. They got a bajillion drops, though. I can't navigate these pages.
Do we need to file a lawsuit? How do we get our drops back?
Do
we have a custody battle here? How does this work?
No,
do we need
anything,
to go to a call 1-800-DIVORCE? How does this work out?
I would say, like, if anything, I'm more offended that we didn't pull it. It was on our show.
That is true. That they had to the victor go the spoils.
They at least had the wherewithal to go pull the audio because
smart
it was
move.
A great, like, who do you think I am?
It's a bit of a Pete Weber drop. Who do you think you are? I am!
But he's gay.
I don't think that was Bill Oram.
It looked like Bill, I just clicked it, and it's he's gay.
I don't think that's...
Oh, here it is.
Oh, you got it?
Look at this look.
Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am?
Well played, sirs. Well played.
Good job.
I do have an update. So you teased it for me. I already had it in the notes. And I'm not going to play the sounder because I'm sticking true to our belief. We're not going to play the sounder until we land Giannis Antetokounmpo. By the way, have you seen Jake Fisher's latest updates? Huh?
I wanted to pull the audio.
We could do it if you want.
I can't get Jake Fisher on. He charges for interviews.
We're not going to pay him to come on the show.
I mean, I'm not paying him $150 for a 10-minute hit.
No offense
to Jake Fisher.
You want to Venmo us $150 to get Jake Fisher on the show, go for it. But I'm not paying for that out of my pocket.
I'll just say this. Don't Venmo us that because we'll just tell you what Jake Fisher said because we have all the access to the content.
If you want to Venmo me, that's great. You can do it. But no, it probably won't lead to Jake Fisher being on the show. We can play. We'll send it to Swag. We can pull it and play it in the final hour. That's not the point here. I'm not going to play the breaking news sounder until we get him on.
It'd be funny if we actually created a GoFundMe for your Disneyland trip for the decade.
Let it build up over 10 years.
Started like $5.
Dude, if I go to Disneyland for free, then fine, by all means. I'm not spending thousands of dollars to be miserable for a week. It's not happening. Over my dead body.
You're going to lose.
Not happening.
You're
going to
lose.
Over now. I do have breaking news, though. I have breaking news to deliver without the sound effect because we did not land Giannis Antetokounmpo. Some would argue this is bigger breaking news than Giannis Antetokounmpo coming to Portland.
That's a hot take.
This is a big deal.
That's a hot take.
Because we have a great track record as a radio station. One of the things that holds true amongst all shows.
Great ideas.
Great ideas, no execution.
Poor execution.
Grandiose takes, nobody has to live up to it, right? Outside of an occasional, like, I ate 6 hot dogs live on the air.
I can squat 300.
Right, squatting 300 pounds.
This show, like, more than any other show.
We do, but there's also
some of the takes.
You know, there's also swimming in the ocean for 500 yards and, you know,
I got pictures
not being
coming
afraid
in
of
a couple
an alligator.
Of weeks.
You also said you could swim across the Willamette River to an island.
You did, at the old studio.
But, like, we made bets, we dumped beer on
each other.
Beer
on our head, I've dressed up in a cheerleader,
a neck tattoo.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this ultimately became, it felt like it was almost like I'm carrying the load, like I will do this because nobody else will do this.
And I've kind of initiated the role, to be fair.
That, I mean, I want it to happen.
I know.
And everybody else wants it to happen too, but somebody's got to go make things happen, all right?
Yeah.
I'm out here making deals. I'm signing contracts, all right?
Yeah.
They call me the negotiator. And as of yesterday.
You should be a sales rep.
I should. Look at this. We have a date.
Nice.
We have a tea time.
We have a venue.
And we have a venue.
Nice.
Okay, I'm nervous about the date because of something that popped up in my life.
So I sent out a tweet prematurely. Never been known to do anything prematurely in my life, but I did on Friday.
We'll ask your wife about
that. I sent a tweet and said June 20th.
They weren't planning.
I waited a long time for number two, to be fair. June 20th was the date. And then it slowly dawned on me as my divas, who I'm trying to corral into a golf match, one's like, well, I don't know if that'll work for me. And the other, well, I got to go to a concert and I got my show in the morning. And then it also dawned on me that it's Father's Day weekend and probably not great to take up the Saturday of Father's Day weekend watching two chonches play some golf. Okay,
not trying to be a chotch.
Don't be a chotch, but that would have been the Saturday of my Father's Day weekend.
Okay,
so it ended up equaling. And then, by the way, we were working with a wonderful partner. I will explain that course in a moment.
Yes,
they then said they had an event going on that morning, so we couldn't get a tea time until 3 o'clock that day to make this happen. And it was just like, well, we're not doing this. Okay, that's Father's Day, but 3 o'clock, not gonna happen. Light bulb moment for the old dirt man.
Oh,
we observe a holiday that weekend.
That's true. Friday is a holiday.
Friday the 19th is Juneteenth. Our company now observes Juneteenth, and we don't work. We don't have a show on Juneteenth. We don't have any live local programming. It's a 3-day weekend for all of us. So we immediately pivoted. My negotiating skills kicked in. I called up everybody I needed to call up after the show and said, let's check Friday, June 19th. Does it work? Breaking news.
Oh,
it works.
There we go.
We have an 11:51 a.m. tea time.
Nice.
Okay.
Friday, June 19th.
Yes.
For the Cargo Short Classic with our wonderful friends at Stone Creek Golf Club.
Oh, at Stone Creek. What a course. What a track.
One of my favorite tracks in the area.
Oh, my goodness.
In the entire state, some would argue. Yeah. I'm a big fan of P1.
Huge P1.
My all-time PR low came there.
Allow you to be done.
11:50, you're fine. It's a Friday anyway, so you're going
prior to
right?
potential Game 7 of
my
the
all-time,
NBA Finals.
My all-time low front nine of my life, Stone Creek.
See, it's a wonderful place where memories are made and dreams are made to happen.
Or crushed on the back.
Or crushed. And so I am announcing now for the first time live for public consumption on these fine airwaves.
How about that?
Friday, June 19th at 11:51 a.m.
Okay.
is the official start time of the first annual Cargo Shore Classic, an 18-hole match play event between Danny Meringue and Joe Fisher.
Oof.
Wow.
Now, for those who missed the launching point of this and
that's
the origin
just nine
story,
9 days away.
It's almost here.
They better be ready.
Now, to Joe's credit, he's been really funny on social media, basically tweeting out every day something different of like, I'm out chipping at Chehalem Glen.
Grinded.
Like, I'm out grinding over my 5-foot putts. Right. He's like standing over a putting mat in his garage.
Sure.
All these different things to get ready. For those who don't or miss the origin story of this, it happened with Danny Meringue bragging about weightlifting one day when we were in the change of the show. And he was taking over, came out and was yelling about squatting 9,000 pounds or whatever it was.
By the way, unsolicited. We were just minding our business.
Yes. That Danny will tell you. You know, he'll open up every once in a while without a question necessary to be asked and give you a life detail. And Joe Fisher, under his breath, muttered,
"No, I wasn't under a breath. It was pretty loudly a bosh." Bosh.
And that led to a shouting match between Danny and Joe about who's the alpha male in the room. Yeah. And neither one would back down from their alpha male status.
Peacock feathers were up.
Peacock feathers were up. Yeah. The spiked hair on the dog down the spine.
There we
the spine
go.
Hair was standing at attention. And Danny Meringue made the claim that you can't beat me in any athletic venture.
Endeavor.
And you'll go 0-for. And so we decided, naturally, let's start with golf. And it will go down Friday, June 19th, 11:51 a.m.
Now, is there going to be some sort of closed-circuit TV coverage of this somewhere?
Look,
well,
knowing
in typical Odyssey fashion, do you think they're going to pay to have somebody edit a video that we could easily make and generate good views for our station?
Yeah.
Here's what I will do.
No, they will not.
As the good soul and person that I am.
I should be about 12 Aperol spritzes into my night in
Italy.
You
will not be there. I need to find a, because I'm up on the rules of golf, but not, like, there's probably some that
but
even I'm like.
You can get a rule book.
I could get a rule book. I know people who are super into that kind of stuff, so I might see, like, hey, buddy, if I buy you a couple of beers, you want to come walk around for a few hours and be a rules official?
What do you need a rules official for? You don't know what red stakes are?
I mean, just every exact designation of where do you drop, where do
you
hit
drop?
From.
Is that a one-stroke penalty?
Is that a
one-stroke?
Is that a two?
Penalty?
Like, I guarantee you there are rules that we do not understand or follow.
Can I follow up?
Sure, go for it.
I don't think we largely will use this person. I think they're going to use you to get free drinks. I think it's more important for the content to be created than it is a rules official.
Well, I just want to make sure that everything is done by the book so that nothing is controversial after the fact.
Yes.
Why was that drop made there? Why was that a no? Where was the ball of flight when it went out of play? Where, like, there's a lot of nuance
there's
here.
Been allegations by one side that
this
the
is
other's
my
not
whole
gonna
point.
Accurately count. But see, this is where the rules official's kind of not needed. We are going to be following. Danny will not be venturing into the woods alone. I found it, actually. This one, I found it.
Yeah.
You found it in there?
No, you gotta show
to
your golf ball, show your mark on the golf ball.
You have to mark your ball.
People will be with.
Exactly.
We will be verifying what ball did you tee off with. Okay, that's not a TaylorMade.
No.
That's not a Pro V1.
Okay.
No, that's a Pro V1X, not a Pro V1.
No, that's a Titleist 3. You were playing Titleist 2.
Exactly. We will
what happened
have
to
all
your Kirkland
that?
Ball? That's fair. I want to make sure that every dot, I is dotted and T is crossed.
Right.
I want to leave nothing to chance. Now, if we don't find it, it's not the end of the world, because we will be there. I will be walking.
Okay.
I'll be alongside them. The probably only content we'll get out of this is a social media video occasionally throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, and that's the bummer to
with
me.
With an update on where we're at and what the match is at. So it's an 18-hole match play event. No carryovers. So
match play.
Match play. We're not going stroke play. So if you blowing up, pick up, dude. You don't need to finish your 11 on this hole.
I think that's the right way to do it.
Match play is the best way to do it. Yeah. It evens it out for the entire round. And no carryovers. You don't tie for four holes.
No, it's not a skins.
Somebody wins.
Not
skins. It's not skins.
Match play.
Match play.
Gotcha.
To the victor go the spoils.
Yeah, I really wish we could figure this out. I was up to almost 10 last night watching Bob Does Sports play with Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't really need to do that, but I love watching it, and it's a really big popular thing.
We don't really have a video guy right now.
That's where you would outsource and you'd pay. Yeah. Like, hey.
Let's call Jacob. What's Jake doing? He left. Does he want to come back?
I don't think Jake has a camera that way.
Does he want to work for us for a day? Come on, Jake.
It'd be really cool if we could do it.
Get your drone footage out there. Let's make this happen.
Great video content. I did enjoy the kick that yesterday you're leaving, and this is why I felt negative about it. So Danny evidently can't do it early on the 20th.
Oh, these divas, dude. Let me tell you.
He goes, well, the wife and I have so-and-so. And then Joe says, I have a concert at like 5, so like a 3 o'clock tee time's too late.
Oh, also, by the way, his show on Saturday, so he can't do it in the morning on Saturday. He has to do it after his show.
Well, I just love that you told Danny Joe couldn't do it late after Danny told us he couldn't do it early, and Danny rolls his eyes, and I go, what are you making a face? You just literally can't do it in the morning.
You just did the same thing.
But he was rolling his eyes as if Joe's making an excuse.
The heated rivalry is upon us.
We need to get it on. I cannot
is this
wait.
Rory Patrick Reed this. Stuff from I Ryder
think so.
Cup?
I think so. I can't wait for the trash talk. I can't. I'll be there documenting if you want to come
you
follow.
You think there's going to be trash talk?
I think there will be, yeah.
I
know
think
in these two,
a lot of trash
I think
talk.
There's going to be some fireworks.
We need to lay odds.
Yeah, we'll have
Who's
an odds
the favorite?
Book. I think Stevie Betts on Primetime wanted to be the odds maker of this
he
event.
He wants to be the odds
he's,
maker.
He's wanted to wear that mantle, so we'll
he's
come up with odds.
He's a little late to this party knowing these two individuals.
That is very true, although he has a history with Danny
But it seems
Marais,
like he's a
say.
Huge, absolute degenerate.
Yes, he does, and I respect the hell out of him for that.
Yeah, he's
you know
like
what he does?
The...
I have a competition problem.
Yeah.
Is he the Brendan Sorsby of the station?
Might be.
Whoever wins.
Should we call him the Chauncey Billups or the Brendan Sorsby?
What was the name of the guy that ran the caddies in Caddyshack with the
God,
little fedora hat?
I know.
What
I can't remember his character name. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude, whoever's walking off the front nine with the lead heading to the back.
Who do you think I am?
You're a loser.
June 19th, we will see you there. I believe they've said it's okay to come walk and follow if you would like to. We'll be walking around the Cargo Shore Classic June 19th. It's happening, everybody. It's happening.
I'm just playing another show's drop. Gotta get out of here.
We'll get into some audio at the top of the hour. We will talk NBA Finals Game 4. We got to dive back into that. We're back after this 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It was funny in trying to pull off the Cargo Shore Classic, which, by the way, somebody texted, if Dirt loses to Danny, I'm not listening to the show again. I'm not playing Danny. It's Joe Fisher versus Danny Meringue. But it reminded me of like in the modern time of trying to plan a golf trip with your buddies and how complicated that text chain gets. Hey, does this weekend work for you? No, does this weekend work for you? Because somebody texted in that's the I guess USA plays Australia that day in the World Cup. And I mentioned that yesterday. So we're leaving because I made sure to check with Danny before I left. Does the 19th work? He said yes. And Patrick has wanted to be there, and he butts it. Well, I can't be there. The USA's playing. And I love you, Patrick. I love you. But I don't need you to be there in order for the event to go on.
Patrick also doesn't golf.
We
so...
can't make everybody happy here. Yeah. Okay? It's not easy to fit schedules together.
He also poo-pooed Australia, and he said, we're going to win no problem. So, like, if you know we're going to win no problem, what are you going to miss?
Yeah, DVR the game.
A
you can watch it later.
One game? Like, I
stay off your phone. Watch it later. To each their own. If you would rather watch that, I can't blame you at all. We will be there for the Cargo Shore Classic. I want to get into a bit of audio pertaining to our local team coming up top of the hour, and we, of course, have Statter Story around the corner, and I'm sure we'll dive into it again at the end of the show, but we get Game 4 of the NBA Finals, man. I mentioned Game 3 was, Game 7 obviously was a big deal last year. There's a handful of moments throughout the Finals in the last decade or so that have been a big deal. That's the most excited I've been for an NBA Finals game in a minute, it felt like, and tonight will be no difference with the atmosphere at MSG. What's at stake for both teams? A 3-1 lead? Do we have a 2-2 series tied?
Yep.
I also think it's interesting the question of just home court advantage. And, you know, I joked yesterday about the idea of the World Series between the Nats and the Astros, where the road team won all 7 games of the World Series. Such a rare occurrence. But we have an NBA Finals where the road team has won all 3 games. And what we're to make of that concept if San Antonio is to win tonight and we get a 2-0 series lead for the Knicks in San Antonio and a 2-2 series tied from New York, with the Spurs winning both games on the road as well. How often does that happen in NBA Finals history?
Well, the road team and the home team thing, it's traditionally, because if you go to the NBA Finals history of everything, it's historically overwhelming the home team wins.
Right.
But lately, so I went to go look at last year's.
Yeah, what was the result last
so
year?
So game one was in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana won.
Yep.
Game two went to the Thunder.
Yep.
Game three went to Indiana.
So
game
went
four
home.
Went to OKC.
So they were both 1-1 on their home floor.
Game five in OKC went to OKC. Game six in Indiana went to Indiana. And game seven was
right.
determined by an Achilles more so than
right.
it was the actual
but it was a home
court,
game,
not
yeah.
home court
so
stuff.
So they each won one road game.
So it's basically a trade-off of splits, win yeah. your biggest games at home that you need to, and then get to a game seven and see where it falls.
Right.
It absolutely could be this series, where the first four games of the situation are the road team winning. I also think that's... I think it's a little more common now for the road team. It's not as big a fear to go on the road to win. And part of the theory I have, and I'm sure somebody out there suggested it, I think you've priced out diehards.
Yeah.
I think you've priced out noise and to a certain extent some of the craziness. You still get great atmospheres. The New York Madison Square Garden crowd, I was a little surprised to hear Claudio say it wasn't his last, and I'm like, dude, it came through pretty well, I thought, yeah. on television.
I wonder if he was just kind of referencing the start of the third quarter in that, like if you had more diehards, is it that empty at the start
maybe,
of the third?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, but I think what happens, like the Yankee Stadium baseball games in the playoffs, they're still electric.
Yes.
Are they as electric as they were in the Bronx? Now, you know, back in the day, it felt like it was a little more something. Blazer games, I think, were this way. We have a memory of Blazer games, even going back to the OKC elimination, before that the Rocket series to the game winner. Just in the evolution of pricing, you have seen, I think, you've priced out more and more sections from lower class to middle class to now it's upper middle class to rich. I mean, there were people sitting courtside next to celebrities, I saw this point, that nobody recognized.
Yeah.
They were like, I don't know who any of these people are. They're like owners of jewelry stores and
worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hedge fund guys. Yeah. Like, they weren't just the Spike Lees and the Ben Stillers. So I've always kind of thought that's a little bit of the theory with home court, home field stuff. But also, it's just the talent of that league, it's as close as it's ever been. The league has largely been run on dynasty runs, right? 6, 3, 5, whatever it may be. Decades are run by 1 to 2 teams. That's not the case anymore, man.
8 straight years, different champion.
It's 8 straight years of a different champion. I'd be willing to wager, even if the Spurs win, take the money on betting the field against the Spurs next year. So I think the league, talent-wise, from a depth standpoint, is as spread out as it's ever been. So it's not a shock to me that you've seen the road teams win so far. We'll see if that happens tonight, but to me, it speaks more to depth and talent of the league than it does, like, is home
the
court
dead?
The
idea of it being dead.
At last year, we literally saw it mattered yeah. when it mattered most.
Yeah, and maybe that's the way the series
six.
Goes. San Antonio wins tonight. They win at home, and then the Knicks win at home.
Yeah,
and
then we
end
get game
getting,
seven right. in San Antonio. So
you
who
win
knows?
Game five and game six at home. It's just an interesting subplot of remarkable to think of where we were. When was game two? Friday night? Was that Friday night? Yeah. Where we were Friday night with the thought of a 2-0 series lead for New York going home to that circus of an atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
to if San Antonio is to pull it off tonight, back to square one, all tied, 3-game series to go with 2 of the games in San Antonio. It's just wild how quickly the whole thing can change, or vice versa tonight. New York wins, and it's not done, but it's a
massive. Is it going to feel done to you if they go up 3-1?
No. I can't say no because of the impact of Wemby. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit for his young age at this point in his career, because he's only 22 years old. Like, that's asking for a lot. To your point on Shaq yesterday, I thought it was spot on. Guys go through lumps, they go through growing pains, and they usually get over the hump. That's the way the NBA works. I can't say no, though, just because if he's a 7'4 unicorn.
Yep.
And that's a guy that I don't want to have to go against 3 games in a row. Game four, we'll have some more thoughts on it coming up in the final hour. Statter story as well. Let's start locally. We'll do that. Loaded final hour to go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.